As we look deeper into this passage in Nehemiah, let's ask God for help. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you work by your Spirit to seal the truths of it on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. People gather together at sports events, at concerts, at plays, at other performances. They gather to enjoy good things, high-class entertainment live. In sports to support their team, hopefully celebrate their victory. This weekend, there were the NRL and AFL semi-finals. In the NRL, 20,000 watched the Melbourne Storm beat the Sydney Roosters. In the AFL, 96,000 watched Carlton against Melbourne, the largest crowd of the season. 96,000 people cheering and celebrating whenever their team scores, enjoying the good play in a really close game. At the end of it, the Melbourne supporters left with no hope this season. But the Carlton supporters were celebrating the win and that they're going to Brisbane this week, enjoying together their victory. And what we'll see in today's passage is all the Israelites coming together to celebrate their God and all that he's done for them. It's all the Israelites, all 50,000 of them that's returned from Babylon. An absolute massive gathering in those days, gathering around God's word to celebrate and feast, and responding to all the law has to say as it speaks into their lives. Nehemiah came to build the wall to rescue the Israelites from their disgrace, so they can live among their neighbours without such fear of being raided. And having seen what their God can do for them, having seen what the favour of their God brings them, respond by living in praise to him, being faithful in their lives, not going their own way, which had landed them in exile with no temple previously. And because of this favour of their God, they, together with Nehemiah, have succeeded, despite opposition from without, where surrounding leaders of other peoples have sought to intimidate them and get them to stop by whatever means possible. And even from within, where the nobles have been more interested in their position, in profits, than in their people and the word of God. And now the whole nation comes together, not to mourn the king or queen, or celebrate the crowning of a new one, but to worship their God. 8 verse 1, it reads, when the seventh month came, and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. Everyone gathers at the same place. They come together as the people of God, and they tell Ezra, the scribe who came back to teach the Jews the law, the priest who knew the law and encouraged the Jews to follow it, to read it to them. It's likely that this is the Jews seeking to follow the law, and especially Moses' instructions in Deuteronomy 31. At the end of every 7 years, in the year for cancelling debts, during the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women and children, and the aliens living in your towns, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God, and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you're crossing the Jordan to possess. They were told to gather like this every 7 years and understand the teaching of God. In the year of forgiveness, the year of cancelling debts, the year that looks forward to Jesus coming, so that by dying on the cross, we have our debts cancelled by God. We're forgiven for all the times we reject or ignore God, for all the times we go our own way and fail to represent God. As we're covered by Jesus' righteousness, and so are called to respond to him by representing God's mercy to those around us. And this year of cancelling debts is the year that the Israelites should particularly represent the mercy of God to each other. They've already followed much of this earlier in Nehemiah 5 with the nobles and officials, returning land and interest to the people in accordance with the law. So the people who have benefited are determined to learn more. And we're not told of the influence of Nehemiah or others on this. While Nehemiah's pretty much for certain likely to have at least encouraged it, he also knows the teaching of the law does not belong to him. It belongs to the priests, to the Levites, and he must follow God's instructions for his people, like everyone else. So he's in the background. Instead, the focus is on Ezra, the priest who came back 13 years before Nehemiah with the approval and support of the king to encourage the people in their faith. And as he is encouraged by the people to do what he wants to do, to read to them God's instruction to them and enable them to understand what it says, how God's word impacted or should impact on their lives, Ezra reads the law, God's instruction to his people, of how to live loving him. And loving those who live around us. This is before an assembly, a gathering of God's people. This is made up, in verse 2, of men and women and all who were able to understand. The principle is that everyone who can understand should gather with God's people, listen to his word, the words that is written in the scriptures, and seek to understand, to know more of our God and what he wants for us, to understand how to live. Firstly on this, no one's left out. It's not okay to study the word at home and forget gathering, or to say that they don't need to hear God's word. All men and women, plus the children that can understand, are a part of this. Now, Ezra reads the law from daybreak till noon. It's not just the 3 to 5 minute Bible readings that we have in church. It's 6 hours worth. Imagine services of 6 hours. Other cultures are a bit more open to that, but I think the longest I've ever been in was around 4 hours or so. And it's a service, though, that's dominated by Bible readings and explanations. But the Jews wanted to hear. They were keen. They wanted new knowledge of who God is, of what he said in his word. And this dominated the gathering, the reading and explanation of God's word, with the audience responding, listening attentively. They wanted to understand so they could respond to their God who showed them favor. I think this raises a real issue to our attitude to the Word of God, to Scripture. How much do we want to hear what it says, to understand what it says and know more of God, to actually have God speak into our lives and change how we live? Or would we prefer to pretend to listen, be bored by it, and want the reading and explanation of it to end so we can get back on with our lives? Are we like these Jews who want to listen and seek to see what it says to us? Are we asking questions after the sermon, after we've heard the readings, wanting to know more of our God? Or do we take this as something that's boring, that's a traditional part of the service, that we have to survive if we attend the gathering of God's people, and not seek to hear God speaking to us, not seek to understand God's word and apply it to our lives? Because the Jews here were doing this for 6 full hours. They were seeking to listen, to understand and apply the word of God. Now, let's be clear. Ezra's on a wooden platform specially built for the occasion. He's not alone. There are others alongside. This is a special event. The Jews should have their own, would have their own meetings in the local synagogues where God's word would be read, and they'd be expected to go once a week. But this was not like that. It's more like a conference, a coming together of believers for a one-off event, a celebration. But we'll discover here the centrality of understanding the Word of God to their lives, just as it should be to ours. A Scripture, the Word of God, allows us to know God better, as we understand who he is, and therefore brings us life, brings us more and more into relationship with him. One of the ways that God allows us to get to know him is through his written word. Now, when Ezra opens the word, he praises God, the one who is their Lord, the one who's rescued them from their disgrace, using Nehemiah to build the wall. And the people respond to the praise by joining in, saying, Amen, Amen. In other words, they're saying, truly, truly, they're agreeing with Nehemiah. And then they worship God. Now, let's be honest, their style of worship's a little different to ours. I don't see anyone here bowing down today with faces to the ground. For them, what's happening? They're aware they have no right to come before the God of the universe, that he is all-powerful, that he could destroy them. They respond to him by being in awe of him, recognizing who he is. Now, today, because of Jesus, we have confidence to approach our God, to come before him without such fear. But perhaps we also lose how much of a privilege this is. We can lose just how great our God is, that we have the God that created the universe and all that's in it as our Heavenly Father. So worship and praise is very much a part of what the Jews do on this occasion. But central to it, the reading of the word and the explanation of it, that the Levites, along with Ezra, give to the people, enabling them to understand it. Verse 8 says, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being said. And the people hear the law. They respond in tears as they realize how far from it they've been living, because they listen attentively with an expectation of God speaking. They hear God's word. They hear how it applies to their lives. It's real to them and should affect how they live. The word of God's impacting their lives, and it should impact ours. And the people are to celebrate this. Those instructing them, along with Nehemiah, tell them not to mourn, but to celebrate, in verse 10. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." There's several things to note here. One is Nehemiah's concern that all share in the celebrations, that they're all God's people. Those who do not have should still be able to create and enjoy this time. They're being encouraged to show love for one another. Just as Jesus instructed his disciples, and by extension us, to love one another. This is what Nehemiah's encouraging. The second is that celebrate, to enjoy the festival, celebrate their relationship with God. Just as banquets and feasts are times of celebration, so the Jews are to celebrate, enjoy the presence of their God among them. I ought to point out here, many of the sacrifices in the Old Testament law were about having fellowship with God, eating them around a table, enjoying relationship with God, leaving him a seat. And similarly here, that's what they're to do. They're to celebrate that their God is revealed to them. And thirdly, that that relationship and the joy that comes from that is their strength. Knowing God, having him on their side, providing and protecting them, is theirs and ours protection. We know that we're sons and daughters of the King of the universe. So this is what the people do. They party. They celebrate knowing their God and support others doing the same. Verse 12 reads, "Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them." Just as today we should celebrate knowing our God and getting to know him more. They celebrate this with joy. They celebrate knowing what the scriptures mean. And further, they respond to this. When on the second day of the month, they hear about the festival of booths, the festival that celebrates God taking them out of Egypt and travelling with them through the desert, providing them with cloud cover from the sun by day and flame light by night, as they spent 40 years there living in booths before coming to their own land. So to remind them of all their God has done, they're to camp in booths once a year. So they remember, and this is what they do here. They get branches, they build booths so they can camp out. That's different, it's new to them. And even today, camping expeditions are often part of the fun of holidays. Many people have growing up the excitement of sleeping out in tents, perhaps fishing trips, perhaps other things. But this, while it has the excitement of camping out, also has a greater excitement of following their God. They've never celebrated it like this, not since they'd come into the land, and they were doing it out of their relationship with their God. Verse 17 reads, "And their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of God, of the law of God. They celebrated the feast for 7 days. And on the 8th day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. They were joyful because they were centered around the God whose word they were responding to. The emphasis on listening to his word while celebrating him, dwelling among them's clear. It's read every day with people to explain it. And this festival that they're celebrating, where they celebrate God going with them in the desert, looks forward to the living word of God that dwelt among us in Jesus. The one we should that means that we have relationship with God. And because of him, we should respond to scripture, the written word of God, to get to know the living one, word, the one who died for us better. And like the Jews respond to his word in obedience by better representing him in this world. As we know he lived among and died that we might live, we should look forward to being in his kingdom, dwelling with him. Because that's the excitement of the message of the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that Jesus came and died for us, that we might live. And we ask that you'd store up, that you'd seal the truths of that, of your word on our hearts. Help us to be excited by it. Excited by your word. Showing us who you are and all that you've done for us. And therefore respond by living out of it. In Jesus' name, amen.